With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Four o'clock, Friday afternoon. It's time to get nasty. As we are now joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. Nate, how's your Friday so far?
Oh, you know me, man. I'm just chilling. Okay. I'm trying not to do too much today other than just some stuff around the house. But how are you, man?
I'm good. We got a Chiefs preseason game tomorrow. I said the only thing that it's really going to help out fan-wise, it's going to get you back into the flow of, hey, let's get ready. It's noon. It's the weekend. I got to get ready to, you know, do my football prep stuff. I got to get the right shirt out, the right draws, you know, the clothes. I got to get my spread figured out. I got to go to the store Friday night. Yep. Other than that, I think there's very little to really watch for. So we'll start this off with this one. I think the running back situation is the one that everyone needs to watch because I am in fear that Ronald Jones may not make this team.
Right? I mean, that's the shocking sort of subplot so far into camp because, you know, throughout the offseason program, Dusty, it was very clear that, like, he was the number two back. Now, for fans, you know, they signed Jerick McKinnon sort of late in the offseason process because he had a sports hernia surgery. But we all saw what he did in the postseason last season. So you go, okay, that makes sense. You got three running backs. I like the rotation. You know, obviously Clyde's going to be the starter. And now, at least over the last couple days in practice at camp, Dusty, you know this, they've given Isaiah Pacheco all the reps that used to go to Ronald Jones. So both players need to do well on Saturday, but they can't hide who they like or who they're trying to prefer long term, and they are really pleased with Isaiah Pacheco, who is bigger, faster than, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And if Ronald Jones is stuck taking snaps in the second half, it's not a great sign. But I really do think that they're going to try to get the ball to Isaiah Pacheco about 8 to 10 times tomorrow, and what he does with that will sort of dictate how the rest of this running back competition moves forward.
I have noticed that it's interesting to see that, like, the guy that's – I mean, I think Sky Moore is stolen camp. I think that you can – I mean, I know you guys break the 18th, but I think camp is officially – camp MVP award goes to Sky Moore. I think that's over with. But it's interesting to see that one number 10 has, you know, departed to Miami, and now this 10 is, like, stealing everybody's attention. And I've said this before, and this isn't just me kissing your ass on the air, but I normally pay attention to, like, what you or Pete'll say more than anybody because you guys are just always there, front row. You watch everything. Nothing gets by you. And it kind of seems that, like, you can tell that Andy Reid has almost, like, fallen in love with Pacheco because of how he's getting used. And, like, I was talking about it at the start, and we'll bring it up with you here in a little bit about, like, how maybe Sky Moore's kind of that weapon that, like, Andy Reid, like, when they see it, it's just like, I can't get enough of it. And I think that we're starting to see that with Pacheco because they like his style and his, we're going to do this, his makeup. And he's it's kind of the thing that I think we're all going to watch tomorrow afternoon.
Right. And let's not forget too. I mean, Dave Tove kind of makes the decisions along with Andy at the bottom of the roster, right? Guys, you know, 45 through 53, you know, kind of have to get a little bit of an approval rating from, you know, Dave Tope. Isaiah Pacheco is going to be the kickoff returner as long as he, you know, makes a couple plays, as long as he shows that burst. They're not running Ronald Jones out of the slot. They are doing that with Isaiah Pacheco. So there are things kind of like you allude to, Dusty, that, like, oh, that seems fun. Well, let's try this. Ooh, that looks pretty good for a rookie who wasn't doing that at, you know, Rutgers last year. Hey, why don't we try him at kick return? He was pretty fast, runs a 4.3. looks to translate to the pro level. They've done everything they can to sort of get a real sense of that. And a lot of the misdirection, a lot of the short burst routes, a lot of the change of direction, hey, this route's going to open up things for Sky Moore. Those things have really been put on the practice field that I think have intrigued fans so far. So for these two guys, for Sky Moore and Isaiah Pacheco, what they do on Saturday, even in a limited, you know, snap count situation, that stuff may translate to the regular season if they're on the field, you know, with the rest of the collection of the offense, right? You know, Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce, of course. But there's many roles for them to fulfill, and they can really sort of grab those roles starting tomorrow against the Bears.
I always find it funny because I know you have friends that do this to you, and every year we do this where they say, "So how much are they going to?" Andy Reid said they're going to play the first quarter. Well, that's true, but he doesn't say full first quarter. Like, we're going to see 10 plays scripted, and then that's it. Like, I think if they go 3 and out, which they'll come back. But if Mahomes takes them down the field and they score, they're done. They don't get too hyped about it, because by the time the third quarter gets here, you're going to see a guy on the team whose number's like 51 and his last name is like Winchell and you don't know who he is. That's what you're going to watch. But what I do like to know is how much are we going to see of maybe what people don't get to go see at camp, or maybe people that don't follow Twitter followers, like, how much are we going to see of Sky Moore? Do you think there'll be a little bit of a sprinkle? Because I think we know Juju's the number one receiver with Mahomes, but I want to see like how they're going to use Sky Moore. And I think that there is a little bit of an open book there. Is he going to be more of a receiver? Is he going to be more of that like Swiss Army knife?
Exactly. So to answer your first question, Dusty, look, Andy Reid does this to us every year. He understands that, hey, if you're going to Chicago because it's a nice weekend in August, God bless you. I'm going to give you the appearance that, hey, you might see Patrick Mahomes for like a quarter. Something has gone horribly wrong if Patrick Mahomes is on the field late in the first quarter. I get the sense that they want to have one drive. Hopefully, like you mentioned, it ends in points where you move the ball from, you know, the minus end of the field to the plus end of the field. Because that way they can get into some of those situational things like third down, red zone, of the like. There's 10 rookies on this draft class. All of them are going to play the majority of the game, right? So Sky Moore, Sky will get plenty of time with like Chad Henne, right? Same for like a guy like Josh Gordon. Like Chad Henne will play most of the first half is my assumption. And then you're going to see guys like Shane Buechele and Dustin Crum, you know, fill out the rest of the second half on offense. But for Sky Moore, I think what they'll actually try to get him to do is, hey, let's see you line up in the backfield. Okay, let's see what it looks like from the slot. Let's see you on the perimeter. Let's see you in motion, whether it's a jet motion, orbit motion, just to, like, you know, see what it's like from a timing rhythm and how much you're absorbing what we're teaching you in camp and actually applying it correctly in a game setting against an opponent. So some of this stuff is going to be vanilla. But I do get the sense that, like, if you're really jacked about this rookie class, and it's more than they've ever had in the Brett Veach era, they drafted 10 players, that's who you're probably going to get to see more than, obviously, the older veterans who are going to be there on September 11th when they play the Arizona Cardinals.
I'm glad you brought up the rookie class, because I didn't think Veach could top last year's class, and then I just started to shut up after I've kind of, like, seen where these guys – because, like – normally, like in NFL stance, like you want your first three picks to be somewhat impactful. Right. I think his first seven this year are going to be somewhat impactful for this team. I'm telling people, if they want anything to watch, it's 56 and 54. Because I think when you think about Leo Chenal, and you normally hear those player profiles of like, oh, this guy just literally wants to go out and kill people. They're a little, you know, like they're a little erratic. They don't know how to like keep their focus on the field. But this guy like has shown in practice that he's an animal, but he's also a tamed animal. Like, he knows what he needs to do. And then also Karloftis is a DN, because now we're getting reports out of Raiders camp that Max Crosby just cannot be blocked. Well, he's going up against a teammate. That doesn't mean anything. But tonight you're going to see, or tomorrow afternoon, you're going to see Karloftis, the animal that he is, in the videos that we've seen of him just bull rushing in one-on-ones, which you don't see that normally in NFL games. But Is there anything else that people should watch outside, obviously, of 54-24 or 56-54-24 and maybe McDuffie? Other than that, like, what are you watching, Nate Taylor, for tomorrow afternoon's game?
Yeah, so I always like to preface it this way. Are your rookies better than their rookies? That's how you should look at this. So if you have the Bears draft class, and by the way, it doesn't look impressive right now, but hey, who knows? The Bears look like a team that is clearly in rebuilding mode. But you should look up their roster, and I will do this tomorrow, where I'll say, okay, kind of remember that guy from the draft and some of the pre-evaluations. You know, but if George Karloftis does well against the second team left or right tackle for the Chicago Bears, then that's a great sign, because he will eventually obviously be with the ones. He'll be your starting defensive end at some point in his career over the life of his rookie deal. The secondary is interesting to me, Dusty, just because you have Brian Cook, who's kind of filling in that role that Dan Sorensen used to have as a third safety. Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson are bigger, longer cornerbacks than usual. But the game of the, you know, the speed of the NFL is a lot faster than Division I college. How does that translate when they're going up against, you know, second string wideouts? Like, do they look the part? Are they consistent? You know, when you get to these game-like settings, it's like, are you making mental mistakes that lead to penalties, or are you pretty sharp in your first game-like settings? It's not the most sexy thing, obviously, but if Trent McDuffie has a pass breakup, or, you know, lo and behold, if he has an interception, then that's a very good sign. So I would look at the rookies. I would look at, yes, how are they going to use Sky Moore? And then as it gets really, really weird, particularly in like the third and fourth quarter, that's where I'm sort of wondering what's going to happen with Ronald Jones, what's going to happen with Josh Gordon, two veterans who have already established themselves in the league, but the league often tells you, hey, your career might be done sooner rather than you realize. And both of those guys will have to do well in a sort of different way than like the rookies will, just because they have the experience in the past.
Where do you think, and this is a kind of a different question, but we'll get into this on the other side at some point, but I've kind of talked about how we're going to find out if Tyreek is the receiver that he is with Mahomes, that he can be in Miami. How much do you think Mahomes can elevate Juju's game? Because the last couple of years, some injuries have plagued Juju Smith-Schuster. He's also been playing with a guy that has legs of cement and an arm motion that is slower than, you know, maybe than most things you've ever seen. So I think that can kind of like slow your career down. But how much more elevation can Patrick Mahomes give one Juju Smith-Schuster?
It could be really, really massive, because as long as Juju Smith-Schuster stays healthy, and he's still very early in his career, he's getting ready to be 26, I believe, he can run routes in a sophisticated manner in that slot, in that intermediate area, that I think Patrick Mahomes and him can have a real connection on. Just because I think Juju understands both man coverage and zone coverage. And look, you know, Ben Roethlisberger at some point will be, you know, inducted into the Hall of Fame. We're not ever going to consider him last 2 years, where he was just, you know, trying his best, and somehow, you know, it's more of a credit to Mike Tomlin than I think Roethlisberger, that they got to the playoffs last year.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he's going from, like, I don't know, a Ford Focus at the last bit of his career, and, like, he's going from a Hummer. Remember, Hummers were, like, a thing back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
He's going from a Hummer to a Ferrari. Like, there's going to be a difference in, like, how you can move around and how defenses might guard you, because, you know, he was probably their most accomplished receiver last year, even early in the season before he had his shoulder surgery. But also, you know, he's going to be running routes next to Travis Kelce, and I think that can open up things for him in ways that he's never had before in his career, when you combine Hall of Fame tight end next to you, a Hall of Fame coach that can sort of use you in slightly different ways, and then the quarterback is going to be accurate and is going to give you opportunity to succeed. So I would assume that the most, you know, for Chiefs fans, I would say the two people you should be most confident in, the two playmakers that should be most reliable this season, are Travis Kelce and Juju Smith-Schuster. Everything else sort of will revolve around them when they get their one-on-one opportunities with the quarterback.
So let's shift focus to Mecole Hardman. So Mecole Hardman, everything that we've heard, not everything, but a lot that we've heard from camp, and I thought when he sat down with me and said something, because I thought this year was a lot about proving it as a individual standpoint, not a team. The Chiefs have nothing to prove, but from an individual standpoint, Juju's got to prove that he can, you know, get that big, because that's what he's doing, man. Like if Juju's here next year, it means that either it was a disappointing year for his standards, or, I mean, miraculously, nobody wants a receiver in modern day football. MVS, another guy that wants to be able to prove it outside of Green Bay's system. Sky Moore, rookie, trying to prove that he can hang out in Andy Reid offense as a first-year starter. And Mecole Hardman, a lot of people have said that he's getting the Tyreek Hill type of routes. Again, he's always going to be linked to Tyreek Hill, because there was a time where we didn't know if Tyreek Hill was going to be on this team or not, and they needed to draft a receiver to replace that in immediate fashion. They took Mecole Hardman out of Georgia, and now we have Mecole Hardman in a contract year that the late, great Terrez Paylor says is undefeated. Are we going to see something different from Mecole Hardman? Because it seemed in the last four games last year, Mecole Hardman was the best wide receiver on this team. And that's with a Tyreek Hill in this offense, because it just seemed that maybe either he got it, either his game went up a notch, or something was awoken in Mecole Hardman and he just ran out of football. So am I dumb to kind of be a little bit excited, or am I just on the train of, well, we'll see if he can do Tyreek Hill plays?
We are going to get a look at that, right? I think for those deep passes, you know, whether it's play action or something that, you know, maybe Patrick rolling out before throwing the ball deep downfield, like those reps, those snaps, I think are going to be divided between Mecole Hardman and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, just because he offers, you know, that sort of size along with the speed. But for Mecole, like, it's right here. It's year four of the offense. You still have Travis Kelce. I think, you know, the expectations should be around 1,000 yards. And that may lead to more highlights where it's like, hey, he caught a 45-yard touchdown pass against, you know, insert whatever opponent. You know, you're still going to get the jet motions. You're still going to get those sort of gadget plays that give him the ball very quickly so he can make a play in the open field. But I get the sense that, yes, with the contract year, him wanting to prove that, like, hey, yes, I was kind of in Tyreek Hill's shadows. There's no player like him in the league. He had obviously built a rapport with Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, it makes sense. And I think Patrick has acknowledged it. They're like, hey, if 10 is running downfield in a one-on-one matchup, I'm sorry, Mecole. Like, I have to throw the ball because he's the fastest dude in the league. So those opportunities are going to go more to him now. And I'm really interested to see if he can be consistent for a 17-game season. That's what truly separates the very good to great players versus guys that have traits that lead them to have some level of success in the NFL. Can you stay healthy? Can you be consistent? That really should lead to a 1,000-yard season, to where maybe he can cash in as a free agent if Juju has a successful season and wants to return and play with, you know, with Patrick Mahomes. We don't know how this is going to go, Dusty. That's why it's so exciting. But I know that he has the talent, and it's now just about consistency and making the most of his opportunity so that he can have a 1,000-yard season, so that he can say when Tyreek Hill left, I filled in that role to the best of my abilities when given the opportunity to do so, next to, you know, the most talented quarterback in the league. If you can't get 1,000 yards with Patrick Mahomes in the prime of your career in a contract year, that will not look well to the other 31 teams in the National Football League.
So how many guys can have 1,000? Are they going to have at least three? Can they get – because I've never seen anybody go from as hyped up with MVS to, like, I have not seen a tweet that has anything MVS related in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's had some drops.
Okay. I would say that a little scared. You're like, they don't like drops and fumbles in an Andy Reid team. They don't like them.
No, they don't. No, they don't. You know, they're going to scheme things up for MVS. And, again, I think MVS can have a real impact in the red zone because he is a taller receiver. He can maybe win those one-on-one jump ball matchups. I would also say, too, that they've really taken the last, I would say, 6 or 7 practices to really feature, hey, let's see what Sky Moore can do. Let's see what Isaiah Pacheco can do, so that they can get them ready for this preseason so that you have a better idea how to use them, and, again, in limited roles in the regular season. I think MVS will be fine. It's just, I'm really fascinated because you and I both know, Dusty, there are Green Bay fans who loved him because he did offer such a good deep threat to Aaron Rodgers. And there were times where he was wide open and he would drop the football. So he also has something to prove this year when it comes to consistency. But yeah, there's a chance for Patrick to go back to having, you know, close to 5,000 yards, and that leads to maybe three guys being above 1,000 yards or very close, and obviously that'll be Travis Kelce. I think Juju, just on, you know, yards after catch and the ability to just have a, you know, outlet from Patrick Mahomes in the intermediate zone, I think he has a chance to get 1,000 yards. And Mecole Hardman would be my third, you know, my third candidate if I'm going to pick three guys to have near or over 1,000 yards this season.
I think Mecole has 1,000 just because I think he saw the entire wide receiver budget list of how many people got paid this year. If I could go back in time, I would just devote myself to be a wide receiver in the year of 2022. I'd be just the one of the richest men alive. Now, obviously, I can't do that because I am slow and out of shape. Now, somebody not slow, not out of shape, who's stealing camp, we talked about it, camp MVP, Sky Moore. There's a lot of people that like to use this narrative that a rookie in Andy Reid's offense always has to kind of, well, take a step back, humble themselves, become NFL ready, and then year two, it's like, all right, you get three extra pages to your playbook. The only thing is these three extra pages, they're all plays for you, and there's three pages a play. you know, or three plays a page. Now, the thing is, I did some searches. I looked at Jeremy Maclin's rookie year with Andy Reid. I looked at Tyreek Hill's rookie year with Andy Reid. None of these guys had the one thing that is common that is now is that none of these guys, when they were rookies, had Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback.
Right.
I made a $100 bet with Pete Sweeney that Sky Moore would have over 550 yards. Are you team Pete or are you team Dusty? Nate, time's yours.
Look, it's a passing league, my friend.
Okay.
And
with an extra game.
And I was just getting to that. I was about to say, like, look, man, you always have to adjust your eyes on Pro Football Reference or whatever, you know, website you use where it's like, wow, this person did this in a 16-game season. When they have an extra game, you pass the ball now more now than ever on first down. There are easier ways to get a receiver the football, whether it's bubble screens, you know, slants, RPOs, orbit motion, jet motion. There are, you know, so I don't think 550 yards is a too tall of a task just because as long as he can catch the football and show his skills, I think it's there for him to be had. I mean, he's clearly the number four receiver, and I think that's totally fine for a rookie. So it's not too much to put on him from a leadership, a responsibility on an every snap basis. But when he's on the field, he can make some things happen, particularly, I think, in the middle of the field. I would start telling Chiefs fans now, when the Chiefs are between the 30s, that may be where Sky Moore is there for misdirection plays or something that can build off of another route that Travis Kelce is running that takes the attention of a linebacker and a safety so that it leads to a one-on-one matchup of Sky Moore. When you get to the red zone, obviously it's more condensed. Obviously that's more man-to-man matchup type stuff. So that may more lead to veterans like Kelce, like MVS. But yeah, I mean, he only needs about four or five memorable plays to get very close to that mark. And with Mahomes, assuming everybody stays healthy, I will give the rookie the benefit of the doubt so far.
I think the reason why I am team 550 or more is because I think this is a year, and I think I told you this one time when we were in here, is that it's going to seem very like bachelorette-esque when it comes to this offense. Like one week, every week, somebody's different's going to get a rose. Like you're going to get the private time with Patrick Mahomes this week, MVS, and you're going to have 8 for 120 and two touchdowns, and you're going to look at Juju's line. It's going to be like 5 for 50, and you know, that's it. And then next week, they're going to go off to the penthouse suite and Juju Smith-Schuster is going to have 10 for, you know, 116 and two touchdowns. And I think that's where Sky Moore can use like his ability to be that kind of player, because I've also kind of described him as like this Swiss Army knife that Andy Reid has never really had. Like, I know he's had LeSean McCoy, but he was strictly a running back. He's had, you know, Brian Westbrook was just a running back. Like they had Kareem Hunt was kind of like in that same mold as Sky Moore. And I don't know if Pacheco is that way too, but it seems like there's these things that Andy Reid has this year that he hasn't had in years past that I think is interesting for him this year that can kind of make those numbers a little bit more, I don't know, elevated than in years past.
Right. And I also think, too, like, the Chiefs realized last year that, man, as we get this cover two, as defenses are trying to take away Tyreek Hill, the only reliable person we have is Travis Kelce. Now, Travis Kelce had a statistical, like, incredible season when you consider that, like, the Chiefs, like, were slightly disappointed on offense, and they turned the ball over more than they had ever done in the Patrick Mahomes era. So a couple of factors that I would consider and that people have to keep in mind is this team beat itself so often, particularly early last season, because they just could not stop turning the ball over. Now, some of that is because of drops. Some of that was because of fumbles from Clyde Edwards-Helaire earlier in the season. You know, Tyreek Hill, for as great as he was in certain moments last year, he was one of the league leaders in actually dropping the football. So Sky Moore was one of the best receivers in college last year at actually catching the football when he was open. That was one reason why the Chiefs identified him as a potential fit when we were going through that draft process. Now, with Andy Reid, if you don't have Tyreek Hill, you have to become less predictable. And they can use that to their benefit because you know the quarterback's accurate. You know the quarterback can extend plays to give your skill position players more time to get open. And if the defense doesn't know that, A, where's 10, where's 87, and all of a sudden you've got to account for 87, 11, 24, and 9, and all of a sudden 17 is doing maybe Tyreek Hill-like things, well, that's five legitimate weapons that you have to consider now. Whereas I think last year, Patrick Mahomes had to rely more on DeMarcus Robinson, on Byron Pringle, and both those guys did the best they could. But this year is about, can Sky Moore be better than Byron Pringle? Can MBS be better than DeMarcus Robinson? If that is the case, and you also understand that Travis Kelce is still playing at an elite Hall of Fame level, then more unpredictability gives the offense the advantage. And with a quarterback and a coach combination, it should lead to guys having success if they can just be consistent, if they cannot turn the ball over, if they cannot have penalties. It's a lot of ifs. But there are more ifs now in the offense's advantage than last year where everybody just said, look, Pat, you're not going 30. You're not throwing the ball 30, you know, yards over us. So we're going to let you matriculate the ball down the field and hope to see if you guys make mistakes before we do. If that is the case this season, then the quarterback and the coach can just say, okay, this plays for Juju, this plays for Sky, this plays for Travis Kelce. All of a sudden now we're in the red zone, we're in a rhythm, and usually that should lead to touchdowns more so than field goals. So if they're less predictable this year, that should probably lead to more success as long as they don't give the other team the football.
That's Nate Taylor, The Athletic. We're going to come back on the other side, ask him some more questions that involve national people. I can't believe that I'm actually here for Carrington, just like I can't believe that Colin Cowherd is on the same side as, well, I guess us. We do that with Nate Taylor. We come back.
The Drive.
One option was fight an orangutan with a sword once a year. The other option was you could fight a chicken every time you get into the car. What option would you pick?
On 610 Sports Radio.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right. First football game, less than 24 hours. I feel like Mitch Holtis is probably sleeping in his cleats. In Chicago, Matt Nagy gets to go there and have his chest out a little bit. Who knows? Maybe one day he'll go there as the next head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a long time from now. But Nate, one thing I want to bring up is we talked to Nate Taylor of The Athletic. Host of the Nate Taylor Show, does a lot of good work, former UC a Mule, probably had some fun on Pine Street. We bring this up. Can Andy Reid, if he wins two more titles, I think he just needs two. I think he just needs to get to three total titles as a head coach of the Chiefs. Can he be considered the better coach between he and Bill Belichick?
Ooh, that's asking a lot. And yes, I had plenty of fun on Pine Street. I don't see it. Cause Bill Belichick is amazing. like I think Andy Reid is clearly a Hall of Fame coach. This is where it gets really hard. Like, you know, and this is fun to think about cause I just wrote about Dick Vermeil going into the Hall of Fame, like a week and a half ago, maybe, but, there's not that many head coaches who have won multiple Super Bowls with the same franchise. And there's a particularly small fraternity of guys who have led multiple franchises to the Super Bowl. And so that's where Dick Vermeil and Andy Reid have some commonality. I think Bill Belichick is just incredible. Like, I know people are trying to decide if it's more Brady or if it's more Belichick. I don't know, guys. This Belichick dude is good. And I know at some point it's got to end. And I'm a little scared that the New England Patriots probably won't make the playoffs this year. That eventually over time people will love Brady. But I think for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, if they win three Super Bowls together, I mean, that's some Montana and Walsh stuff. And that's like high, high up there. It's not as high as Brady and Belichick because I don't know if I'm going to be alive if somebody replicates what that duo did together, but it would be quite fascinating before Andy Reid retires if he and Mahomes can win three Super Bowls together. I mean, that really is some Montana, you know, Walsh, Rice type stuff from the 80s. And they were known for obviously innovative football from an offensive standpoint, and this team is known for doing much of the same, destroying cover three in its sights, even when cover three at its height was like the reason why teams were winning football on defense. And then Mahomes in 2018 just sort of destroyed that entire defensive concept to where now kids, more coaches are playing cover two and cover four.
Weird.
Little sprinkle of cover six. So it's the game changes and evolves over time. But Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes' legacies are kind of already cemented, but three Super Bowls for both of them will be quite the achievement.
You're smarter than I am. I admit that. I will say this. Why do people continue to put the Chargers as the front runner? And Rob always says this, he's like, it's low hanging fruit. It's August, but yeah. Still like, don't do it, Dusty. And yet here I am immediately. Ugh. I just don't understand it. Like, and also why do I feel like Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler are 34? They're 27 and 30 and they seem like they're older. Right. Maybe it's because they just always hurt and their career seems longer than it really is. But like, why are we putting the Chargers there when it comes to their quarterback and then just ignoring what is in Kansas City?
Yeah. And look, it's so fun. And look, I'm intoxicated, ladies and gentlemen. Have you guys seen Justin Herbert in person? It's nuts. Now Mike Williams and, you know, Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen, they're very good. But, man, this is a tough division. I like the Chargers because they are at least going for it. They are the first team in the Mahomes era to say, you know what, we got to change everything because we're competing against this team in the division. And, look, give them credit. They won last year in Arrowhead to put pressure on the Chiefs, and then the Chiefs had to respond late in December to win that game in overtime, an absolute classic, to where they won the division for the sixth straight time. I won't be surprised, Dusty, if the Chargers sneak in and get the division from the Chiefs and have to cheat, you know, that this would be like a huge development, like a Patrick Mahomes road playoff game, because if you don't win your division, you immediately have to start the playoffs on the road. But hey, I've made fun of the Denver Broncos for a long, long time because I don't really know what they're doing. They're trying, I guess, now, but the Chargers have been trying for like 3 years, and this is a complete plan with a talented quarterback on a rookie contract so that you can just splurge everywhere else on the roster. You know, that leads to like J.C. Jackson. That leads to obviously, Khalil Mack as the new pass rusher alongside Joey Bosa. So it's going to be a challenge. I like the coach. I like the aggressiveness because, you know, playing conservative will get you beat against the Chiefs, but they're going to have to really do it for a whole season. And that's like one of the key underlines to this whole year. Like, yes, some people are suggesting, hey, you know, at some point the Chiefs cannot host the AFC Championship game every year. Well, Buffalo probably has the best roster, but have they done it for an entire season? Well, we're going to get to find out. And hey, somebody's got to beat the Chiefs in this division. Well, the Chargers are the most equipped team to do it. Can they actually beat this team twice in the same season? That's asking a lot. So on one side, I see it because you're always looking for the new thing or the new challenger. And I don't know if the Chiefs have had a full-on rival, particularly in the division. I don't know if they've had a full-on rival in the conference yet. But hey, you know, Cincinnati had kind of a storybook run. Like, can you do it again? Like, can you get better? So the Chiefs have the pedigree, and everybody else is still chasing them in some regards. But I like the Chargers. I want to believe, but even I know they might be the seventh seed again because, hey, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, even Steve Spagnuolo, like, these are good. Like, the Chiefs are really, really good. And I just hope the Chargers – I just appreciate that the Chargers are willing to go all in because it makes the season more compelling, more so than in years past where we could obviously just simulate this thing in January. And it's like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs are, you know, hosting another playoff game.
Well, it's the Bears hosting the Chiefs tomorrow at noon. Football is back for your Kansas City Chiefs. Football starts about an hour and 20 minutes. We get to Sean Watson on a football field. That's a conversation for another day. Nate Taylor, I want you to enjoy the rest of your Friday. Relax as, boy, you're getting ready to hit the grunt of the season as you've already been in camp for the last few weeks and the regular season continues. Thanks for joining me today on The Drive in replacement of Carrington Harrison. Nate, we'll talk to you in a little bit down the road when it comes to this football team.
Yeah, man, looking forward to it. Thank you, D.
You got it, man. Nate Taylor of The Athletic today on The Drive. You missed it, you know, go and check it out on the Odyssey website, 610 Sports Radio. Take it with you. Do everything you need to it. Also, take time to look at your survival pick contenders this year. Your boy, new to the team. Hopefully, I make it past 2 weeks. We come back. We get into a little bit what Nate had to say, plus Field of Dreams, holograms. Just get over it.
You're listening to The Drive, your spot to hear friend of the show, Andy Reid.
Call me anything you want. Call a lot of worse things than that right there now.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back in on the drive, Dusty Likens with you, Rob Britton. We got you till 6 o'clock. Then Vern takes over live from the K at Kraft and Draft as it is Royals Dodgers esta noche in Kansas City. Big weekend, right? Lynch, Keller, Singer, all in action tonight against the boys from Hollywood as they get to come play the young punks, is what I like to call these Royals. Thanks to Nate Taylor for joining us for the last 40 minutes or so. From The Athletic, Nate Taylor, beat writer for the Chiefs, read his stuff, follow him on Twitter, listen to his show on Monday nights. The Nate Taylor Show is good information there. But a lot of people, Chargers equal chokers. Bills have the best roster, can't get better record than the Chiefs in the AFC East. Sure. I also had a guy last night tell me that the Miami Dolphins were going to be a Super Bowl contender. Football in August has fully began, and it's awesome, right? See what Miami's schedule is? First 4 weeks of the season? New England, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Buffalo. Good luck. Some breaking news out of the NFL world. Lamar Jackson looking for a fully guaranteed contract, and Deshaun Watson is on the field getting his reps in pregame, but yet the entire Browns roster is not playing, basically. No Nick Chubb, no Amari Cooper, no Kareem Hunt, no Miles Garrett. Nobody plays in these games. So, but hey, at least you got football back. Go to your local pub, have some fun, watch Royals, throw on some, have baseball on one TV, football on the other TV. We're almost back to two TV seasons. But speaking of TV, last night, I didn't know if I needed to cry or laugh at the same time because of this.
All right. Let me hear you. Good and loud. All in one. On two. On three. Take. Back,
there's a few things here that I... Okay, first off, let's just jump to it. Stop with the holograms. They're creepy. They don't make sense. And I don't know whose idea they are, but they're not good. Not good ideas. Right? Like, I don't want Field of Dreams next year to involve the Dodgers somehow and have a hologram of Vin Scully doing an entire inning of baseball. Now, granted, that would be tough because it's live action. But man, that Harry Carey hologram last night freaked me out. Scared the piss out of me. I didn't know what I was watching. I didn't know what I was looking at until finally I put it together. I was like, oh yeah, the Cubs are playing the Reds in the Field of Dreams game. Now, again, last year, it's tough to top that. Because last year, I think it was Tim Anderson hit a walk-off home run into the corn. The fireworks go off and everything is perfect. But here's the other issue I have with the Field of Dreams game. You got to flex it. Why did we have Cubs versus Reds? It didn't make sense. Now, you brought in Harry Carey hologram, and then I didn't find out until this morning that you brought out Ken Griffey Jr. and his dad from the outfield to play catch. Like, this is why baseball, it struggles. Like, market this thing so much better. Have the information available. Let us know that we're going to get the absolute urine scared out of us when you bring a hologram Harry Carey. So I know to go somewhere else or to change the channel. Now, some of you might think I'm being a jerk, and that's fine. But it gives me a weird feeling when I see someone who is deceased come up as a hologram. Remember the Tupac hologram from Coachella a few years back? That was weird. Like, imagine being on something at that concert and then that comes out. Your life probably changed for 5 straight years. You're like, man, I was in a different world. They brought out this hologram of Tupac Shakur and I didn't know what to do. I just froze. But baseball can make the Field of Dreams game better than it already is. I love the concept. I love the idea. I think it's great. But I think the thing that's interesting about it is that's a game that's easily flexible. It's in the middle of August. You can let teams know in July at the All-Star break, hey, your game is going to be here on this date, and make it somewhat more, I don't know, enjoyable for us to watch. Like if the Yankees and the Mets were to play, put that out there. Or put last year's World Series game out there if the schedule works, which it should now because they're going to change the way the schedule is played in MLB. But a few things you can stop doing is having bad teams play each other in a time of the year where we're in the dog days of summer and the dog days of baseball. And then also, just don't do too much. Don't bring the hologram. Like, bring the players out, you know, from the fields. Maybe have Kevin Costner come out as a different character from a different movie of a Kevin Costner movie. One year he's John Dutton. Then he's Bull Durham. Then he's Robin Hood. Maybe that's too much. But at least he's alive. And not some light show that they had with Harry Carey. And as Rob told me, it looked like Larry David playing George Steinbrenner from Seinfeld. It was just weird. I didn't like it. It's 4:55. We come back. We do the hits.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.